Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Today I walked, as I do almost every day now, the mile or two to the local grocery store. And I noticed and experienced several things. I live in a suburban area on the outskirts of a nearly all-white city. I have to go through a lot of winding streets before I hit the main avenue where the stores are. So every day I get to see how people live close up. There aren't many pedestrians like me these days. People blow by me in their monoxide-spewing cars by the dozen or half dozen every trip to the main drag, looking at me through the windshield as if I'm an anachronism or a bug under glass or just something they weren't expecting to see. I notice that if I catch their eyes, they usually look away. On the rare occasions, especially in this cold weather, when I meet a fellow pedestrian, there's at least a 50% chance that he or she will just walk by, head down, without a word, even when I brightly say hello or howdy. It's like I'm not even there. These white suburbanites keep this neighborhood very clean. Lawns are mowed and trimmed and landscaped with a zeal exceeding a church lady's zeal for prayer. Sometimes I think there must be an 11th commandment, and it's about lawn maintenance. Trash and recycling are put out in neat city cans on the appointed days without fail. In most driveways and garages are two or more late model cars, papered with all the required tags and stickers and substickers. Snow is blown with petroleum-consuming noisemakers every hour or two during snowstorms. If I walk at night, I can see the warm light of lamps mingled with the cold, flickering glare of giant screen LCD TVs. I see people watching television 100 times more than I see them doing anything outside except lawn worship. It's all neat and all clean and very well kept. And sterile. Every block or two, there's a family with kids. And every block or two, there are at least 20 houses. By my rough calculation, that's much less than 5% of the homes having children. To the white children of today's America, there is seldom such a thing as the kids next door. There is almost never such a thing as a spontaneous game of hide-and-seek or stickball or roller skate races or bike races. And it's very, very quiet, even on summer afternoons. What a difference from my childhood. I was 9 years old in 1965. On nice days after school, the sidewalks were pretty thick with kids, just about all white kids, I among them, in my Alexandria, Virginia neighborhood back then. And the standard practice for parents was to give your kids free rein to go anywhere in the neighborhood until dinner time. Going even a mile away was no problem. Even taking a long walk to the local shopping center was nothing to be concerned about. I also remember that even in big city Alexandria, the habit of leaving your doors unlocked was so ingrained that they had to run radio and television ads to convince people to stop doing it. The air was full of ringing voices and laughter, something that is much more seldom heard today. What happened? Well, for one thing, the Jew-led sexual revolution happened. The upcoming generation was sold on the idea that we could have a lot more love and a lot more sex and a lot more choices and a lot more freedom if women would put little coils of wire in their wombs or continuously pop little white pills containing a chemical cocktail that makes them sterile. Men were sold on the idea that surgically cutting and sealing the tubes that are supposed to send their seed into infinity through the body of a woman, surgery that's usually irreversible, was a great and freedom-enhancing thing to do, too. So white men and women did these things by the millions. Could any enemy that hated us, that wanted us dead and off this planet permanently, have done anything more effective than this? Than planting the idea in the minds of the current generation, the generation in its prime childbearing years, to put chemicals or wires or sharp scalpels inside themselves to prevent conception of the next generation? And all that extra love we were supposed to get, now that we were freed from worries about pregnancy. How did that work out? People, decent people, still have the idea and the instinct to be faithful. But they don't really know why they have that instinct. They've either never been taught, or they've been told the reason to be faithful is because God said so, or something equally unconvincing. Or they've actually been taught the opposite by degenerate condom-dispensing parents. They might kind of feel that sex ought to be meaningful, and they ought to be faithful, but they couldn't really tell you why. With all the so-called sexual freedom and temptations we have surrounding us today, a weak feeling like that is not going to have much effect. It's not going to do much to hold couples and families together and show us that our sexual and romantic feelings are sacred, are the most important and significant things in the universe, really. Men and women are going to drift from partner to partner, hoping that one day the feeling will be right, and all the while getting harder and more cynical with each transitory bedmate. And love? That divine amalgam of the highest emotion known to man and the highest devotion known to man gets rarer and rarer with each passing day, with each passing decade, with each passing generation. Don't talk of love in the degraded, degenerate West. Talk of hookups. Talk of Jewish-owned OkCupid and cheating sites and porn sites and whatever perversion you can think of and some you can't. But don't talk of love. When sex stopped being something that you are deep in your soul as well as in your body and became just something that you do, it lost its significance. It lost its connection to our hearts and souls, and it lost its connection to the infinite. And losing that connection to the infinite will be fatal for us if we let it go on long enough. Of course, it's not just contraception that's the problem. It was just the beginning of a process that has decoupled sex and romance from love and permanence and family and conception of the next generation. Today, led by the Jews and the academy and the media and the government, almost every kind of perverse and self-indulgent sexual behavior is encouraged as long as it doesn't lead to the birth of white children. And our generation, and even more so the younger generation, have been severely damaged, psychologically damaged. A few more generations of this, and we won't even exist anymore, which is exactly the goal of our enemies. Now, I don't think white racialists have any chance of outbreeding the millions of invaders of our white homelands. But a pro-natal, that is, pro-birth, attitude and practice in our subculture is still a good thing. It helps ensure the passing on of memes as well as genes. It's no panacea or substitute, of course, for the hard work of winning the minds and hearts of our folk, so people like us will be in decision-making positions one day. And a sane immigration policy is needed yesterday. How about this? Only whites can immigrate. Non-whites must emigrate. Sound workable? Cost? Whatever the cost, our people's future is worth it. But our vision of a future society should include programs to counter the tendency for bright, successful white people to have fewer children on average than the dull and irresponsible. That's a serious problem. It leads to a lowering of the genetic quality of our people with each passing generation. It causes the culture-bearing and leadership strata of society to wither away. When Margaret Sanger, who was sympathetic to the survival of whites as a higher race, by the way, and other birth control pioneers made their push for contraception early in the last century, they actually thought that the lower quality women for whom motherhood was such a burden and whose offspring were a burden on society would embrace birth control with open arms as a solution to their personal problems. It didn't work out that way. The dull and the non-white continued to proliferate madly, while contraception mainly reduced the birth rate of the intelligent and responsible and white, those whom we would prefer to have more children than anyone. Part of the solution will be a cultural change that will make parenthood a more important, highly honored, and dare I say fashionable aspect of elite white life, both motherhood and fatherhood included. We will also need measures to reward and celebrate and finance parenthood for normal and above normal persons whose increased fertility would benefit the race. Now, we stupidly use the tax and social benefit system to reward the worst among us for reproducing. We can use those same systems and other voluntary and non-coercive incentives to encourage the best to have a larger proportion of the children in each generation, and the unfit to have few or none. At the same time, we can manage our population so it doesn't outrun the ecosystem or crash to levels where others will take our lands. Racial progress, upbreeding, eugenics, is the most important precursor to progress in every field. The race that implements it in earnest will inherit the earth. Our social policies, which greatly reward the childless career woman who spends her life, say, overseeing the making of landfill-destined widgets in a Chinese factory, and which also reward the borderline retarded semi-savage who can increase her tax money handout by having a seventh child, are dysgenic in the extreme. The same policies essentially punish the intelligent white woman who has Tommy and Sally and Jenny instead of having a position on the board of the widget company, or having a cot in the corner of the crack house that she shares with Jamal and Daquan and their friends. That has got to stop. By essentially killing off and sterilizing ourselves, especially our best, and relentlessly multiplying our worst enemies, we are killing the future and killing ourselves. We are doing the exact opposite of what nature is urging us to do. I hope that I've inspired some of you to see things in a new light. I hope that you will choose to devote your life and your fortune and your very soul itself to this fight to ensure the continuance of our beautiful and creative white race in this universe. I hope you will join my organization, the National Alliance. And to you, who have the means and the possibility of bringing new white souls into this universe, I hope and pray that you do so, and that you do so with all good speed. Do not do too much waiting. The time and the moment will never be perfect. Have faith in yourself and your mate and your love, and plunge ahead. And where deep love and devotion and white children are possible, make it happen. Work hard to make it happen. Do not let monetary considerations, or an age gap, or some unimportant hobby, or career goal, or some minor injury, or hardship, or personal preference stand in the way. Work with what you have that is good, and do not wait for the perfect. The perfect, which you'll never find, is the enemy of the good. Choose your mate carefully. Love your mate well. And let devotion, kindness, and eternal divine partnership be your watchwords. Keep your line alive and teach your precious children well, so that they will do likewise. This land is barren because we have been misled into wrong thinking and wrong behavior. But our bodies are not barren. They are as ripe as ever if we allow them to be. Our minds are also ripe, ripe for hearing the truth, which resonates deeply in our folk. If only you will help me spread it. Our gene patterns still contain the same cosmic spiral staircase to the stars that they always did. We only need to activate it. And together, we can do that. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. This week, we are offering a collection of the very best of Dr. William Pierce's speeches and radio addresses, entitled William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 1. This MP3 CD collection includes over 8 hours of the most powerful and moving words you are likely to hear in your lifetime. To receive your copy of William Pierce, The Power of Truth, Volume 1, simply visit natall.com and click on CD Offer. That's natall.com and click on CD Offer. Or send $16 each or $50 for 5 copies to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Once again, that's $16 for one or $50 for 5 copies to Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil.